I know is that if you need prayers, if you need anger, we've got you covered because Jerry, what show is this? Jerry, what show is this?
The Recruiting Animal Show!
Recording of Jerry. Look, I got to curse out Blog Talk Radio, first of all. I'm on a speakerphone. Here's why. I dialed in. Usually I like to use Skype, but I didn't use Skype because it knocks off sometimes. So I put in their Direct Connect. I used that, their own system. My guest told me he couldn't hear me. I was going in and out. So I phoned in again. No, yeah, I don't know what happened. But all I know is I'm on a speakerphone. Can you hear me, Rich?
I can hear you. I'm on speaker as well. So.
But let's talk about this, Rich. You claim you work on a speakerphone every single day. How's that possible? Because in my experience, speakerphones are garbage. They don't work very well.
I've been doing it for, I don't know, eight, probably six, 7 years now at least. I mean, I've got a headset. It sits next to me if a case, but I'm on speaker. It's a good little Polycom phone. It works great. I've never had a complaint.
What type of phone are you using? Tell us that. This is important.
It is the simple Polycom. I don't even know what it is. A 530 now. It's the cheap phone that 8x8 VoIP gives me. So
how much did it cost
it works,
you?
The phone was I think it was free when I signed up for 8x8, or it was like $20 or something.
What's 8x8?
8x8 is a VoIP, VoIP.
You're on
VoIP.
VoIP. In my experience, VoIP is not that good either. You're making all
VoIP.
Kinds of big money using VoIP on a crappy phone, on a speaker phone?
VoIP has come a long way in the last 5-6 years. You know, 5 years ago it was garbage. Now, I mean, I have clients that are VoIP companies. These guys are making a gazillion dollars. So VoIP has gotten much better from a commercial use. And this phone sounds great. You know,
okay.
International,
okay.
No problem.
Okay, you know what? Like, we didn't give your because of all the confusion, and it's really terrible for me, everybody, to be doing the show with inferior technology that I can't count on. I'm very sorry. And I apologize to my sponsors, who I usually like to mention at the start of the show, Martin Snyder from PC Recruiter, and Nintran from Hire Tool, HIRETUAL. Did you know that PC Recruiter is the Swiss Army knife of recruiting software, and Hire Tool is the hot, hot, super hot sourcing tool? Anyway, Rich Rosen is the guest today. Now, Rich,
Santa,
you said
Barbara,
that you were
California.
A good recruiter from day one. You said that you started at MRI, and for your first 6 months there, you were in the top 5 out of 77 recruiters in your billings, right from the start. Is that correct?
That's correct. I closed.
Why? What made you so good?
Honestly, it was probably because I was a stockbroker for a couple of years before this. I was the youngest stockbroker in the country. So I was used to making 150, you know, 200, 300 dials a day some days.
Okay, Rich. Yeah. So anyway, so you said that you would not work on a search unless the fee agreement was actually signed. Because someone asked, what if the fee agreement was verbally agreed on the phone and it was in process? Should you start the search? You said no. No signature, no search. Is that your rule?
Yeah. Absolutely. I got four searches. I got four companies. I have two companies with four searches I'm waiting on right now to send me their agreements back.
Yeah.
Why would you work on that when you have other stuff to work on?
You don't trust anybody. Is that right?
I trust no one. I think everyone.
Okay, why?
I deal with sales guys. They're all a bunch of. They're all. Everyone lies. Everyone cheats. You got to. You know. The VPs.
But can
it's
I?
Never their
can
fault.
I add something just real quick? Can I add something real quick on that? Because that's a pet peeve of mine, also, Animal. It's not about trust and would they pay the fee. It's about are they even going to use you at all?
Yep.
Exactly.
It's about cooperation on the front end. It's the people that won't sign the fee agreement. They're not going to hire your guy anyway, so you don't have to worry about suing them for a fee because you're never going to earn one.
Yeah, or they're going to hire you, and they're going to tie your guy and just snake you anyway, because what do they care? I mean, the end of the day is, what is the risk in signing a contingency fee agreement? If your client can't commit to signing a risk-free agreement to them, then they're not a client. They're a waste of your time and a great resource.
That's one of the top two indicators in our business. It's probably the top number one indicator.
Do you use an online signing tool, or do you how do you get that fee agreement signed quickly? Do you use an online tool?
I sign it using Adobe or DocuSign or whatever and send it back, and once I get that thing signed, I'm off to the races. Until then, not so much.
Okay, and you only offer a 30-day guarantee, is that correct?
Most of the time. I mean, there's rare occasions where I'll do a 60, and it's usually 30 days. Replacement only. It's rare that I offer money back. It's not my problem if they made the bad decision. I'll do whatever I can to rectify it, but I can't be held responsible. Blaming
not?
A priest
for
your bad marriage,
Okay, so 30, but how do you know that you'll be able to find, some of these search, they must be for hard to find people, am I right?
Yeah, of course.
Okay, so how do you know you're going to be able to replace them? Why do you say, I'll replace them for you? Maybe you won't be able to.
Maybe not. My agreement calls for one replacement candidate to be presented. It doesn't call for a full-on search. I mean, I'll do a search, but, I've only had five or six guys in 22 years not work out. So it happens, but not too often. Number one, but two, if the client can't own any responsibility in the search process and the hire process, then they're also another waste of your time. These companies that want a 90-day and these recruiters that give these 90-day, 6-month, 1-year guarantees, they're fucking crazy, according to the French. It's a waste of your time. Work with clients that want to work with you. If your VP can't take ownership in his mistake.
90 days is not reasonable when they're paying you a lot of money.
You're not managing the person.
My job is to bring them talent. Their job is to make the decision. Once the guy's hired, what responsibility can I possibly bring to the table?
Okay, and no one challenges you on that.
No, I get pushback all the time on it, and I usually go through the same thing. I tell them, the same thing I said earlier. It's like, hey, look, you don't bring when you get divorced, it's not the priest's fault. He just brought you together. It's the same deal. I just introduce you. You guys do the rest.
And does anybody walk away from you? Does anybody dump you at that point? You're always talking about dumping the client. One of your favorite things.
Some absolutely do. They won't do it, and it's usually a knucklehead internal recruiter who can't, actually do any pushback with the manager. But it's very rare a VP or a hiring manager, a C-level or VP-level guy will push back, will walk away from it.
Okay. Anyway, listen, what about hands-off policy after a placement? Do you have it in your guarantee that after 1 year of placing somebody, you won't recruit anybody from that firm?
Yeah, I won't purposefully go after a candidate or someone at that company. If you're paying me, if you're paying client, I won't do it.
You got your mic open there. Shut up. Okay. Anyway. Okay. Back to Rich. Rich. So what if somebody approaches you from within that company? You said you won't actively pursue them. What if they approach you?
I've never done.
Yeah, I mean, if someone approaches me and they're knowingly going to leave, it depends on the situation. But if they've got a foot out the door already, I'll probably help them out. It's
help them out. You mean make money? You mean make money off them, right? You're not helping them out.
You gotta look at if this business, you make all the money when you actually, when you want to help everyone out. I mean, at the end of the day, you're not a social worker. It's not being a social worker, but hey, listen, if a guy's leaving, he's not giving the company any good, he's not doing himself any good, and hell, he's not doing you any good. So if you get him out, everyone wins. They can replace him with a better guy. He gets a better job, you make some money. We all win.
What if they find out and they say, Rich, you had a hands-off policy, we're taking you to court?
You tell the guy, listen, this guy called me, here's the records, here's the notes, what do you want me to do? It's not my responsibility to tell them.
Moving on, LinkedIn. You said, and I don't understand this, you said, I use the free account. I use the free account much more than my paid account. What does that mean? I don't understand.
Because you can, with the all the stupid changes to LinkedIn now, with on regular LinkedIn, I can just hit connect and connect with all these people. I mean, I've got, I don't know, 14 plus thousand connections on LinkedIn. So, you know, I see everything anyway on regular LinkedIn. I have a, whatever this new Recruiter Lite account is, whatever they just came out with. I was on premium for years and years. But, you know, my part-time admin, she uses the regular account. I just find the free one just as easy and just as useful, to be honest with you.
Anyway, I'm going to do an ad. Look, you know how a joke, everybody, is funny for the first couple of times you hear it? And then after you've heard it about 20 times, all the people who aren't funny, the unfunny people, they finally catch on and they start beating it to death? Well, that's what happened with the joke. Rich.
Yes,
sir.
Yes.
Yeah. Should I block everybody to cut out that stupid girl? Anyway, let me get back to these jokes. You know all these dummies, they start adopting a joke after it's been dead already? Well, that's what happened with size matters, okay? You see it everywhere. But I'm going to tell you something today. Size does not matter. No, it doesn't. You know why? At PC Recruiter, they will take care of you, big or small. Big or small, we fit them all. Yes, that's true. But let me tell you, at PC Recruiter, they make software that can be used by big recruiting teams and small recruiting teams. And you know why? Because PC Recruiter is inclusive. Inclusive. It accommodates everybody. So size doesn't matter. You might be a solo recruiter who only uses a few of the features, or you might be a giant company that uses everything. Either way, PC Recruiter loves you, and they want to take care of you, and they want to cuddle you, because size doesn't matter. I'm almost done. I'm beating it to death. Everybody gets good service. It doesn't matter how big you are or how small. So do me a favor. Go to PCRecruiter.net. PCRecruiter.net. Tell them Animal sent you.
Yes, sir. I'm here.
Yes, sir. Okay. Do you do many searches that involve relo? Relocation
No.
is really hard.
Absolutely not. I mean, I'll do them if they pay me enough, but it's I haven't done one in years. I avoid them like the plague.
Okay, that's a smart move.
Yeah. No.
I think so. But do you work in one city, or do you work all across the United States?
All over the U.S., you know, Canada, I'll do searches in. You know, I've even done some in England, but mainly the U.S., you know, the major cities.
Yeah, okay. And back to those guarantees, though. You'll say sometimes you'll do 60, sometimes 90 days. Why do you vary them?
Yeah, if it's an exclusive, they're going to pay me more. You know, if they want a 90-day guarantee, then, it's going to be a 25% fee at least, if not more. And, you know, if it's, you know, and then it's other times if it's just a client I've worked with for, you know, 20 years, he moves to a new company and this is the plan that they're stuck on, you know, I'm not going to lose a good client for a couple of shekels in an extra month, you know. And I also know these, you know, I know how the client works, where he doesn't fire guys after 90 days anyway, so. But
do you only place salespeople?
Software sales reps, I'll do sales engineers, and I'll do executives.
Okay, now those software sales reps, they make a lot of money, right?
Yep.
Okay, so how do you bill for them? Do you bill on the expected commission or just the base?
Usually just on the base. Occasionally I'll do the commission. If it's a really early stage startup and they need some kind of sweetheart deal, I'll get them on the back end. But usually it's just base. I mean, I figure why be greedy? If I can make a $30,000 placement or $35,000 placement, you know, I'd rather do that than worry about chasing them 6 months, 12 months down the line.
Uh-huh. And so you said that these guys lie to you. So do the sales candidates lie to you?
Oh, God, yeah. Yeah.
Well, how do you find? Go ahead.
Well, just because, I mean, doing this for so long, you know the industry. You know a lot of the stories that they're telling you. When they've sold certain accounts or they've, you know, why they've moved jobs is usually the biggest one. You know, especially out in California, you know, La La Land out there, you know, it's just the land of fruit and nuts. Everyone out there just, you know, it's never their fault why they moved jobs. I had one candidate a couple months ago. The guy, he got to the final. They were ready to give him an offer, and then they just his whole story unraveled. Like, I knew the guy when he was a really good rep, and apparently the last 5 years, the guy, you know, got through all my, you know, BS detectors and got through the clients until he happened to run into one of these many bosses that weren't even on his resume. You know, turned out the guy had, like, 6 jobs in the last 5 years. So, needless to say, he didn't get that job. It turns out this other client I had, who I would never send this guy out again, this guy BS'd his way right through the whole process of one of the toughest companies to ever get through. And they never caught it, you know. I mean, there's just guys that lie about that, and then there's a whole string of guys in San Francisco right now that are running around. You know, basically, there's 4 guys doing this scam where they take a job, then do nothing, and they just collect the paycheck till they get fired. The other 3 guys are the references, and they just keep rotating around. And these guys are making a ton of money scamming companies. You know, so there's all sorts of bullshitters out there right now, as always, I suppose. It's incredible.
This is why you have to check references, because so many people literally don't ever bother to do the work. They go, oh, you worked for this company, you're in.
Yeah, I mean, that's exactly it. I mean, this one candidate, I mean, this guy was a solid rep 5 years ago, but in the last 5 years, he's been a train wreck. And, by the time I got his references, it was, he was too far down. It was down the pike, and the client really liked him, so, you know. It wasn't one of my favorite clients, so I said, oh, let it ride and see what happens, and it didn't go so well. So.
Now, you said you will market, what do you call them, a most placeable candidate, an MPC, to get a senior job. How do you pick up really senior jobs? You say you'll call board members. Is that true?
Yeah, I call board members. I call the CEOs more often. They're just easier to get to and find. But if I've got a board member, I'll totally call him. You pitch him a C-level guy.
What do you mean, if you know him before or just have the name?
Either way, if I have the name or someone passed it to me, I find it on LinkedIn, I know the guy. If I've got a great C-level candidate, I'll totally do it.
Okay.
Why would you not?
You're calling a CEO you've never spoken to before. Do you have any trouble getting through?
I mean, yeah. I mean, it's never – it's, you know, occasionally you get lucky and the guy picks up. But, you know, I'm pretty persistent, so I'll blast him with a bunch of emails, send him a bunch of calls, and, you know, put a bunch of calls in, and eventually you'll get him. And,
you leave voicemail? Do you leave voicemail?
Yeah, of course. I do.
How many?
I think people are crazy.
How many? How many?
Every time I call. Every time I call. Every time I call. Every time I call. The more they hear your name, the better it is.
What's the max? What's the max?
There's no max. There's absolutely no max. There's absolutely no max. If you want to make money, you leave your name. You know, you got a great opportunity. That's all there is to it.
How often?
And if it's a company I really want to get into or a candidate that I really want to get to, I'll call them every day. I don't care. You know, I'll call them at work. I'll call them on their phone. I'll call them whatever number I have.
Does
eventually
anybody
we'll get
mad
back
at
to
you?
Me.
Does anybody
Who cares?
Get mad at
you?
Who cares? You know, people getting mad at me is the last thing I care about in this job. And you're a sales guy. People get mad at you all the time. Well, and I call sales guys. I mean, these dumbasses that get mad at me because I'm calling them at work or I'm bothering them, what the fuck are they doing? I mean, doing the same thing. I mean, it's the stupidest. I love when they call. I mean, I had a guy in San Francisco call me, yelled at me because I called at San Fran on a voicemail. And that was his whole purpose, was to yell at me because I said San Fran. So apparently I don't know his market. I thought it was the funniest thing I've ever heard in my life.
Okay, you actually said, I think on Facebook, how can recruiters make any money if they worry too much about offending prospects, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
You said something practical as well. You know, these whiners are all saying, oh, he's calling me at work. Don't call people at work. And you said, if you send
you okay,
them
Maureen?
If you send an email to their personal a Gmail or Yahoo account, the recruiting email is going to end up in the junk file. So you have to contact them at work.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
That's where they spend all their time.
I mean, okay. A players don't care.
I'm going to do an ad. Okay. Hey, everybody. You know, HireTool, HireTool. HireTool. They're my sponsor, but they don't know how to spell. Anyway, HireTool is a full-service sourcing tool. I want to tell you all about it. You tell it what you want, and it writes Boolean strings for you. You know what? I'm going to interrupt. I'm going to do something I've never done before. I'm going to interrupt my ad and ask a question of the guest because I had this in mind. Are you a good Boolean string writer, Rich? Do you, you know, practice that kind of thing?
Every once in a while. I mean, I can do them. But I honestly, I don't need to do them that often. I mean, most of my guys are on LinkedIn, to be honest with you. I know it's a heresy to say, but it's we're trying hire tool out actually right now. We just talked to your guys yesterday.
But you're telling us that you're not a Boolean string expert. Is that correct?
I am by no means not an expert. I can do it if I need to, but I'm not an expert. I can do
on
basic.
On a scale of 1 to 10, with 10 being like a Dean DaCosta, where are you?
I am probably more of a 4.
I'm going to finish my ad. Time for you to be quiet, okay? Don't make me fight with you like I fight with Jerry. Okay. Anyway, everybody, you know, even Rich, this recruiting genius, okay, he doesn't know that much Boolean. So what do you expect you to know? You're a nobody. You're not a Rich Rosen. So this tool, Hire Tool, will write those Boolean strings for you, even if you're dumb, you know, it will help you. And then when it gives you the results, they're ranked. It tells you who's best for your job. And it also, you know, guesses at their salary, and it guesses at the people who are going to be ready to move. All kinds of insights there for you. And what else can I tell you? I want to read something that Michael Doran said on my Facebook group, and I'm going to have trouble reading it because I'm crouched over the phone. I hope everybody can hear me. Anyway, Mike says, I was contacted by my rep from another sourcing tool today. He said, this rep offered me a good deal, but I told him that I just bought a year of Hire Tool. I paid for Hire Tool myself, he says, when I was at Dropbox, and I killed it there. In modern lingo, killing it means doing good, just so you know. He says, I highly endorse Hire Tool. It's amazing. I don't know. This guy was on speed. He says, it's the best sourcing tool on the market right now, and I'm a raving fan. That's what Mike Doran says. Dean DaCosta says they did a big update on their data finding algorithms, so they're better at finding emails than ever. So go over there and check them out. HireTool.com, HireTual. Set up a demo from Nin. He's very good, very gentle. He won't pressure you to buy. Okay, just wants you to understand what's going on. Okay, back to my guest, Rich Rosen.
Hey.
Anybody got a question for
hey,
Rich?
Michael, can I say something?
Yeah, go ahead.
I just got off a phone with one of our clients that we just finished a Salesforce integration for, and he told me that he made 9 hires with HireTool last month.
Thank you, Nin. Okay, how do you make your first contact, phone, email, or text?
If I will do research at night, I'll email at night, I'll call him the next day. And then if I've got the mobile, I will text them, either text them or email again the next day probably. If I think they're really A players.
You will do a text to somebody you don't know, a real cold call via text?
Totally. Yeah,
How do you do it?
Who cares?
What does it say?
It says basically, hey, give me a call. I've got a great sales opportunity.
You know, I like your magazine attitude. What? Me worry? That's what I hear from you again and again.
Well,
it's true, isn't it? I don't care.
I mean, honestly.
I don't care. Screw them. If they're too stupid to do it my way, I don't care. Is that true?
It is true because everyone worries so much about what everyone's going to think or what everyone's going to do or do I have the latest tool? Am I doing social marketing? All this other garbage. You know what? I am like an old school recruiter. I just cold call, I email, and I tell people the truth. If they don't like the truth, tough luck. What can I tell you? That's life.
What does that mean, I tell people? What does that mean?
I tell them when they're lying, when I don't like what they're saying is not going to work, when they're not going to fit for a client. You know, I tell the clients if what they're looking for is crazy. I tell them, you know, I have no secrets. It's all about just telling people the truth and being a little different because all these recruiters blow so much smoke up everyone's skirt that they never, they don't trust anyone. You know, you call everyone back. This job is not that difficult. It's, you know, more mentally taxing than anything. But if you do what you say, you call people back when you say you're going to call them back.
Yeah, hold on. Okay, we got that. Well, we got your high-level introduction. If you can't tell a specific story about telling the truth, I don't want to hear any more about it, okay? Let me ask you a question. I'll guide you. I'll help you. If somebody goes out to an interview – because I saw you answer this question on Facebook. Not as clearly stated as I will, though. If someone goes out to an interview and the hiring manager gets a feedback to you, I just can't stand this guy. I can't imagine working with him all day. Will you give him that feedback? He's really excited about the job. Will you tell him the truth?
No, I would put it a little softer.
No, you won't.
It's not worth the headache.
Okay, well, we're defining the truth, okay?
we're just clarifying
what the truth is. What will you say to him?
If it was something like that, the guy's really excited. You just did, but the client thought he was a complete clown. I would just tell him they went with a stronger candidate. That's it. Why waste my time?
Okay. Look, everybody, the genius recruiters, they say the same thing. They say the same thing. They might tell you they're different. I tell the truth.
The difference between big billers and you know, not such big billers is planning. That's the only difference. I probably plan more. I probably make more calls.
Oh, no, this is an interesting topic. You say you plan for 3 hours at night between 8 and 11. Half of that you do watching TV with your kids. What is
I do
planning?
The whole thing watching TV. What? Yeah. You sit in front of the TV. You might as well have your plan set for the next day. All these knucklehead recruiters that sit and plan during the day why they should be on the phone, they can't possibly make enough calls. They can't be reaching enough people. They don't have enough activity. You know, if you don't have enough activity, you're not making money.
Okay.
So,
but what's a plan? Is every call plan laid out with the phone number beside it and everything like that and the person's name?
You have your ATS. So, I mean, you set your jobs up wherever your ATS works, whether it's PCR or I use Crelate, whatever. You know, you put your plan in. This is what I'm going to call for this job. This is what I'm calling for this job. You know, and then you go down the line. You shoot them all an email at the night before, and then you call them the next day. The more people see your name, the better. You know, that's all it's about.
So for you, that's like one of the essential parts. But I'd say the I don't give a damn attitude is the best part of your – I'd say that's your gift, okay? The planning, yeah, okay? But being willing to talk to these jerks and not care if they get angry at you, that's your – selling. That's your competitive advantage, in my opinion. Okay, I'm just telling you.
I think there's two things. I think the planning, number one, the not caring, and the ability to walk away, which is the ability to walk away from the bullshit jobs and the useless managers and the dingling candidates. You know, but it's also when you call people, you got to sound excited. So many recruiters call and they just sound so flat. They don't have any excitement about the opportunity, and they know nothing about the opportunities.
Give us an example of your cold call. So I don't understand this when you say you've got energy. You've got to show energy.
It's like the old – when you first learn how to make cold calls, you kind of put your feet through the floor, you smile, you talk loud, you talk with energy. I mean, I'm on a speakerphone 2 feet away from the phone, and I'm guessing I sound still pretty good, even on your crappy phone. You know, you're energetic. You wake people up. You know, that's it. You just say, hey, this is Rich Rosen. I've got this great sales opportunity. Thought you'd be perfect for it. They say, hey, you didn't get me at a good time. And then you say, hey, well, what's a good time? Because I've got this great opportunity with a company in ABC space. They're profitable. They're pre-IPO. You give them the pitch anyway. Suddenly they're interested. You know? I mean, that's it.
I got to tell you, that is like the most used car salesman search. I mean, pitch I've heard in a long time. Oh, I got a great job. It's a fantastic company.
Yeah.
How do you know it's great for him? You've never talked to her before. How do you know it's good?
I probably have talked to him because I've been doing this for so long. Two, I know what the client's looking for. I know what's on the guy's background. You know, do I know if it's perfect? No, because I haven't talked. I haven't gone this deep dive on this guy's side yet, but
What if someone was in the business for 6 months? Okay? Because you were making big money when you were only there 6 months. You couldn't have known everybody.
I made my first two deals ten days into the job. I was still in training at MRI. I closed two deals, built $40,000.
Yeah, but let me get to my point. So the point is, you don't know everybody when you've been in the job 10 days or 6 months. So you can't say, oh yeah, I know it's perfect. Are you still going to say, hey, I got a great job for you, you're a perfect fit?
Well, what are you going to say? Are you going to say, hey, I think I have
I'm
a job that may be exciting, but I don't know.
You, okay? I don't know. Maybe I'll sit on nails to get myself excited like you.
I mean, that's how you do it, especially when you're selling to sales guys. I'm not selling to controllers and accountants. You know, it's a great job. What am I going to say? I got a so-so job for you? I mean, what are you going to say?
I got
That's
a job that might be of interest. I don't know. Let's talk about it, okay?
But it is a great job if it's pre-IPO and it's the company's like growing 100% a year and guys are making $500,000 a year. That's a pretty damn good job.
Do you tell them the name of the company?
Not at first. Not until I feel they're a good fit. What?
Okay. Do they ask you name of the company? They say who's it with?
Yeah, of course. That's always like the first or second
question.
What do you
say?
I say, let me get a little info first and, you know, happily give you the company. But, you know, I tell them I've got 20 opportunities. I can give you 20 company names, but really it's not going to do either of us any good.
Uh-huh.
And some piss and moan about it, but they'll go down I get them to go down the train of questions I've got. And then if they're not interested, I generally don't give them the company. If they're interested, you know, and I think they're a good fit, I'll give them the company and shoot them an email and have them send me the resume.
Okay, and if what about, do they ask money first? You give them the money first? Do they say how much?
Some people ask salary, but sales guys, I mean, it's if that's their only interest, I'm not really usually interested in working with them. If they're only moving for money, it's going to be a heartache.
Okay, I got to do an ad. We'll come back to that. You hold that in your mind for me. Do me a kindness, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Hey, everybody, I'm back with PC Recruiter. Remember them? Marty Snyder, my buddy over there. Look. The other day on my Facebook group, I live on that Facebook group, forgive me for talking about it so much, a guy named Steve Schwartz, he said, PC Recruiter offers great support and features that help me make placements. That's the part I want you to stick in your mind. Placements, that has a practical effect. It helps them make placements. It's not just a beautiful thing, okay? And he says it's totally worth the cost compared to the value. And here's Nick Mazur. We use PC Recruiter and we love it. Love it. Yeah, I have demoed a ton of systems, says Nick. And they have, he means PC Recruiter, they have the most robust, I love that word, robust features. Okay? And here's somebody else, I don't know her, so I won't say her name. I'm a solo recruiter. Remember, big or small? And I use PC Recruiter. I'm pleased, even though I probably don't use all of the functions. So do me a favor. Go check out PCRecruiter.net. You know, put their name on Twitter right now. Make it seem like I'm doing something worthwhile for them so they'll keep paying me, okay? PCRecruiter.net. Okay, where were we? I told you to bookmark that for me. Rich Rosen.
Comp quite, when people ask about comp.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, if they ask, you know, I never give them an actual salary. I never give them, tell them it's like 150 grand. It's always, you know, I usually just tell them you're going to have to trust me that it's in the range. I know where these guys are at this point. If they tell me they're at like 150 and the job is, say, only going to pay 125, I would tell them, you know, hey, listen, it would be a pay cut. If you're interested, great, you know, but, you know, I'm sure there can be some creative way we can get to these guys where they want their numbers and blah, blah, blah. But, you know, if this guy's at 120 and they're offering 150, I will never tell him it's 150. I'll just tell him, trust me, it's going to be more. I wouldn't waste my time otherwise. And
really? And you ask them? You ask them their compensation, their salary?
I get majority of my information up front before I answer anything.
How?
It's all how you ask questions. You know, you just get them talking, have a conversation. It's all about building rapport. Is really what
you
it comes
ask
down to.
Them, and when they ask you, you say, I'm not saying. You got to trust me.
I don't say it like that, but I mean, I tell them, listen, you're going to have to trust me.
You said, I tell them, you got to trust me.
Exactly. But it's going to be more than what they're saying. But I don't say, I'm not telling you. I say it in a nicer way. That's the gist of it, but yes.
Okay. How much pre-call research do you do before or pre-email contact? Like, lots of people say you got to do 20 minutes looking for their blogs, finding out if they like Cheetos and, you know, all
that. Are we for candidates or for clients?
For candidates.
I about 10 seconds. I look at their LinkedIn. I look at a resume. I mean, again, it's activity. I do like about 1,000 activities a week at least. That's how you can get 4 or 5 deals done a month. I mean, you know, if you're going to spend that much time in every stupid cold call you do, you're dead in the water. You might as well become a social worker.
Okay, and for clients, you said it's different. Is that right?
Yeah, I mean, I don't spend 20 minutes. I'll spend, you know, a couple of minutes looking at the, you know, make sure I know what the hot buttons are for the CEO if I have it, or the VP of sales, or what the latest news was. But it's not in-depth research. It's, you know, it's cursory. I pull up Crunchbase and or whatever and see what's going on with the company.
This is Min, actually. What is the best way to interview a sales guy?
What's the best way to interview a sales guy? to interview the sales guys, it's all about, you know, finding out what's their motivation, you know. I mean, are these guys, you know, what's their personality and culture like? Are they all lone wolves? Are they going to be a guy that's going to actually collaborate? When you guys are young and growing, you know, you're going to want a guy that's willing to share. I mean, there's a lot of sales guys who only want to be the king of the mountain and don't really care about the rest of the company. Doesn't always work well for you know, growing company. So, you know, you're going to want to, you know, dig into, you know, how he's worked with his peers. Does he collaborate? Does he, you know, what's
so
his,
well,
obviously.
When you're talking generally like that, it's hard for someone to translate it into specific questions. If you could do that for him, that would be helpful.
But I live in the generality. As a recruiter, you're just, you know, I'm not interviewing the guy to hire him for me. I just make sure he fits the client. I don't claim to be this HR guru. I just claim to be a good biller. The end of the day, you know, every company's got its own set of questions they're going to look into to dig into, you know, what little niche they want to see and what little niche they want in that guy's background. But those are the general spaces that you got to look
at.
How
long is your interview? How long is it?
I've had guys I've interviewed in 5 minutes that have gotten jobs. Others have been 45 minutes.
What about the average? 20?
Probably 20, 15.
Uh-huh. Nin, do you have another follow-up?
Yeah. We are trying to make the sales interview as objective as possible, right? Just like technical interviews. What do you think about assessment tests like Wonderlic?
I think they're horrible for sales guys. I think assessment tests. I mean, I took an assessment test when I was a stockbroker, and I was the youngest broker in the country at the time. I was managing a ton of money, doing all this great stuff. It told me I should be a garbage man. And I took another one. It told me I should be a librarian. I think those assessments for salespeople, like, I mean, I know people disagree with it. I personally don't think they're useful. Like, there's other tests that I can find out that I know a lot of recruiters use that give us a little bit more of a, I forget what they're called, kind of give you a sales acumen. But at the end of the day, you know, if you're looking for a guy with experience, you know, you got to see what the guy's track record is. You know, why he's made his moves, how he's been successful, how he's, you know, how he's won his deals, how he's built champions. You know,
those assessments, those psych assessments, I think they are probably improved in the last 22 years. Okay, whenever you took yours 20 years ago, right? Okay,
yeah.
Somebody else said they have a question.
Yeah.
Somebody else.
This is Richard S.
Richard, go
ahead. When you were at MRI, you said you closed deals while you were still training. How did you pull that off?
I closed two deals my 10th day on the job. It was because I, you know, the end of the day, everyone's making, you know, trying to make 50 calls a day. I was making 150, and I got a client, found two people, and got the deal done. I mean, it was the best thing about it was they were both 35% fees, which I've never gotten again in my life.
We've covered a lot of territory, but you say, you know, being a partner, not a vendor, is important. You have to build a relationship. I never know what anyone is talking about, but you told Bill Vick that you bitch and moan about your family. That's mostly what you talk about with your clients. Is that true?
Totally. Yeah, 100%. If you can open up the kimono and these guys think, you know, you're like a real person, you're not just purely there to make money, but you want to, you know, build a relationship, you tell them a little bit about yourself, you can complain about clients, other companies, not other companies, but you complain about life, you know? Everyone can relate to a wife being a pain in the ass or a vacation or whatever else, you know? I see no problem with it, and it's built, I mean, been some phenomenal long-term relationships.
Okay, but you also said, coming back to that research, you said you look for the millennials, people who are younger than you, you look at their LinkedIn profiles and Facebook profiles in order to find commonalities to talk about. Is that true?
Yeah, I mean, I personally don't, in general, I don't like a lot of the millennials just because they're too flighty. But
yeah.
No, I mean, if I see, you know, if you look at this guy on LinkedIn and you see where he's at, you see the guy puts you as a big surfer or paddleboarder, whatever, you just somehow you work it into a conversation. They went to U2 last week, you know.
Yeah,
I mean,
you're one of the flaming hot Cheeto guys yourself, but you only spend a minute trying to find your thing. Rich, was there a follow-up you had? You can get the last question. Rich, did you have a follow-up?
No, there was no follow-up.
That MRI
stuff? I'm going over to MRI. And it was I think it's a level of activity, if I'm understanding.
Yeah,
correctly.
Whatever.
Yeah, it is activity. It's, you know, you make the calls and you work the right deals.
Okay, I think we're done for today. Do you have any questions for me?
No, I'm good. Thanks for having me.
Hey, well, wait a sec. I want to thank everybody, Richard. Richard Baird, right? Michael G. Cox, his new enemy, I can tell. Maureen Sherriff, Kathy Manis, Jim Durbin. Who else talked? Jerry. Jerry disappeared, but thank you, Jerry. And most of all, our guest for today, Rich Rosen.